B-Pod Studios.
All right, here we go, Felger and Maz. Murray alongside today. Mike is out. Adam Jones back in studio as well. We actually have a lot to get to today. Some good stuff out there today. Mac Jones following the pro day at Alabama, whether his stock is going up or down. And I think this all really relates to what you want in your next quarterback if you're the Patriots. Okay, what you want in your next quarterback. And so let's begin here with Jim Murray and, again, Adam Jones alongside as well, 617-779-0985. So let me ask both of you guys, and let me ask in generic terms, okay? Generic terms. And when I say what kind of quarterback you want, do you want a mobile quarterback? Do you want a more traditional pocket passer? What would you like the next quarterback of the Patriots to be, Murray?
I would prefer a more mobile quarterback. I think that type of player is a better fit for today's NFL.
Okay, so you relate it to the modern game. Look at it and say, no, this is the way the league is going. I want that kind of guy, right? Jones, what about you?
Yeah, I want a modern guy, too, in today's NFL. And I also relate it to the modern game. And I think it doesn't need to be like a pure runner. Like, I think people hear mobile quarterback and they think running quarterback. Like, it's got to be Lamar Jackson, you know, or it's got to be... even Josh Allen is a really good running quarterback. Like, it doesn't need to be that kind of mobile quarterback. It just needs to be a guy who can roll out, make plays on the move, keep plays alive with his feet. Like, I don't want a statue in the pocket. So that's really my criteria for a mobile quarterback. I don't know if that's what you're looking for or not, but that's what I would want, and I think that's what the Patriots need.
Okay, no, that's a fair assessment. I'm not. I think that's a reasonably accurate description. Gives people an idea of what you want. What do you consider Mac Jones to be? Murray, you start. What do you consider? Do you consider Mac Jones to be more of a statue? Because that's how he's been described of late. In particular, he's not the kind of guy that's going to extend plays, be the elite athlete. He's more of a pocket guy, get rid of the ball. So does that mean you're a no on a guy like Mac Jones?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Jones, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not a no on him because I want them to take a quarterback in the first round, but that's not the kind of quarterback that I want. I think he is maybe more mobile than he gets credit for. And keep plays alive with his feet more than he gets credit for. I think he did some things at his pro day that maybe opened some eyes today. But yeah,
he's not Tua or Jalen.
No, exactly. And generally, I would just say he's closer to the kind of quarterback I don't want, which is sit in the pocket, make your reads, and that's all you do. That can be effective. So Brady does, and Brady's more mobile than he gets credit for. But yeah, I'd say he's the kind of quarterback in a vacuum that I generally don't want.
Yeah, given the parameters you set up here, Maz, I'm a no, but I'm also ABC, anybody but Cam. So if they're interested in him, fine, take him.
Okay, so this is really, to me, it's almost independent of Cam, right? Because I don't think anybody wants Cam. And so if the Patriots take a quarterback in the first round, you sort of look at it and go, okay, they think this is the guy. They've endorsed someone. They've gotten behind someone. They've identified someone. And then we can all sort of look at it and say, okay, where does it go when you coach the guy up and you play to his ability? Fine. But I mean of the guys that are out there. And those first five guys in the draft, you know, Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Lance, and Jones. Jones is the least athletic of those five.
Yeah.
He's really the one outlier in that group. The others all are pretty athletic. Even Trevor Lawrence.
Lawrence ran a ton. They do like designed runs for him at Clemson. Like I would argue probably the next least mobile is Wilson after Mac Jones. I'd say it's probably Wilson, and he definitely makes plays on the move. I don't know how much of a pure runner he is, but he makes plays on the move.
And Murray, what was Wilson's nickname?
Oh, the Mormon Mahomes. But yeah, so I think a lot of people are fooled into thinking, if you never watched him, that Lawrence is just a statue in the pocket, and he's anything but. He ran a lot.
Yeah, like designed runs, yeah.
So now let me ask you the obvious question, which is, what do you think Belichick wants? Murray, go.
A yes man who will just sit there and take his crap and not talk back. I think ultimately it's someone who's going to protect the football, and I think you're more likely than not to get someone who's going to protect the football and be a game manager with someone like Mac Jones, who's more of a pocket passer and isn't going to take more chances if a play isn't there down the field that he's going to take off, but that also opens up more fumbles, right? So yeah, I would think, given his history, that Belichick would prefer a guy who's just careful with the football, and you're more likely to get that with someone who's a pocket passer.
Jones?
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll put it another way. Just somebody who's coachable, right? Like, I think Bill wants somebody who is going to be, you know, malleable to what Bill wants. And that's a yes man. That's a guy who will listen to Bill and defer to Bill. I definitely think he wants that. He doesn't want to put up with, I don't think anyway, somebody who wants to do it a different way than him. So, yeah, I think he wants somebody who is coachable. And if that guy's mobile, great. That's a bonus. Like, Bill's not blind. I'm sure he can see the stresses on a defense that a mobile quarterback puts. Like, how often do people talk about Bill when he goes against mobile defenses, mobile quarterbacks, that he adjusts the way he plays defense? He doesn't want his defensive backs
turning
with their backs turned, running away.
So you get more zone.
Because a quarterback can play, make plays with his feet. And so I don't think Bill's blind to it. I think he'd take a mobile quarterback, but I think he wants somebody who is coachable.
So, I just think that this part of it, and when I say this part of it, let's just play along here for the sake of it and say that the Patriots are going to take a quarterback early in the draft. The question then becomes, what kind of quarterback? So I just think it's going to tell us a lot about Bill, and because I think it relates to where Bill is and the idea of, you know, some people will say, well, the game is passing them by. It's and the critics. I'm not saying it has or it hasn't. Okay, I still have faith in Bill Belichick as a coach. But the point being,
right, I'm with Jones on
that. Okay, so but that has more to do with personnel, maybe, or whatever. I mean, you're entitled to feel whatever you want to feel. I'm not saying you can't feel that way. I'm just saying that I think who he picks might tell us a lot. And so if they take Jones, then it is more of a traditional type of play, quarterback. The ball will come out quick. They're going to look for an accurate passer, a guy who can read the defense, the cerebral guy back there. What if they don't? What if they take a more athletic guy? And I think there's a real chance they could trade up in the draft, and we'll give you an example, or I'll tell you why a little bit later in the program, because there are people out there that have been connected to Belichick in the past that seem to suggest that the Patriots are going to move up. I mean, and that's not anything overly new. There are a lot of people who think they're going to be aggressive. But as it pertains to Mac Jones, he's kind of an interesting guy because he's a little bit of a more traditional quarterback in a world that is changing in the NFL. The quarterbacks now are more mobile. They're playmakers. They can create when things break down. And so I heard Tim Hasselbeck this morning on Get Up with Felger's buddy Greeny. And, they had a sort of a back and forth on Mac Jones this morning that, to me, really crystallized the whole discussion and argument. And here's Hasselbeck on Mac Jones.
It is a freak athlete sport. And in the first round is reserved for the guys that are the elite of those freak athletes. And he is not that. And I agree with Mel at the same time in that, look, you make your money in the NFL being able to pass from the pocket. But I do think the game has changed in a way that, you know, being able to run, being able to escape, being able to create, we're seeing so many people do it at a high level that is where this is headed. And I get it. Yes, Breeze, Brady, all those guys having success late in their career, but they've built up this equity of being able to do things pre-snap, being able to get in and out of place. And maybe Mac Jones gets to that point. I think he's a good prospect. I'm just talking about if we're projecting, give me the guy that is checking all the boxes athletically, because I need him to take over a game, because that's what the best of the best are being asked to do.
Okay, so he's basically saying there, if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, it's going to be an athlete too, particularly if you're taking quarterbacks as high as some of the teams are. And then Patriots, again, are at number 15. All the other teams are in the top five, basically, or seven or eight if you include Carolina. And so I don't know if I totally agree with that line of thinking, because I look at some of the stuff on Mac Jones and I hear about some of the criticisms of Mac Jones, and Hasselbeck went through this whole thing about he's not athletic and then broke down all these plays this morning in which Jones was a statue in the pocket. He got taken down. He didn't make a read quick enough. And I was watching these plays saying, okay, fine. It'll never happen with Belichick as a coach. Not in a million years. Belichick will have that ball out of there fast.
Like he did with Cam.
Well, okay, so he'll want it out of there fast. Cam can't do it. I'm just saying, if Jones's athleticism is not the issue, it's his processing speed that's the issue.
Fair.
Okay, so that's what it is with Newton. And so if Bill believes that Jones can process the game, he won't care about the athleticism, I think. So instinctively, I want to say Jones is the guy Belichick would want. Jones is that guy. But I have to tell you that I wonder if Bill looks at the league and does say, well, we've got to alter it a little bit. And Pac-Man, we were talking the other day when, Murray, you were off on Monday. If you were going to have Cam Newton as a bridge quarterback, Jim, wouldn't you want him to be the bridge to a guy who is like him?
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words,
stylistically.
Right. Why have Cam Newton be the bridge for Mac Jones? Wouldn't you rather have Cam Newton be the bridge for Justin Fields or Trey Lance or one of those guys who stylistically are a little bit more like him?
Yeah, there's way more of a relatability factor. And Cam Newton proved last year that whatever remnants that this offense has of when Tom Brady was here, he's not a fit for. So if you're going to bring in someone like Mac Jones, I think you'd have more of that Brady style offense, which Cam, again, is not a fit for. So it's counterproductive. So I would think with him still being here, him coming back on this incentive-laden deal, it leads me to believe, I think, that they would ultimately go with a Kellen Mond or one of these quarterbacks that have some mobility to their game.
So I just think that we're going to learn something about how Bill views this whole thing if they take a quarterback high.
Are you sure it's Bill's call? Because we talked a little bit yesterday that you wouldn't rule out that Robert could get in there. Maybe some people, I don't know who they would be, think that Josh McDaniels would have a bit of say. So are we sold it's Bill's call?
I would say yes, it's Bill's call. And then the reason that came up yesterday, just for people who weren't listening, you know, I threw out the idea yesterday of taking two quarterbacks in the draft. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't take two. You don't want to be in this thing every year where you're taking a quarterback and trying to guess whether he can play or not. And it feels to me like Bill has approached the draft over the years as if there's a certain level of uncertainty to it anyway. So he'll trade down out of the first round. He'll take 2 seconds and he'll take multiple guys and try to hit because he knows that it's not perfect. And maybe that's part of the reason why they don't take a quarterback early, because there's risk involved, not to mention money, which is always a factor down there. But I do think that, you know, so the point being that came into the discussion because we were talking about taking multiple guys. And the last time that happened with Washington, Snyder was the one that wanted Robert Griffin III. So then Shanahan ended up picking up Kirk Cousins as well in the fourth round. As it turned out, they both could play. I think, you know, Griffin's career went sideways once he got hurt. So, and maybe Shanahan was right about Griffin in retrospect, because Griffin couldn't, you know, couldn't sit in the pocket.
Well, and couldn't physically hold up. Yeah.
Right. He just couldn't sit in the pocket and be a thrower. He needed more than that. Whereas, you know, Cousins can play as a pocket QB effectively. So I think Bill's going to make the call. Maybe Robert has some involvement in the discussion, but I think Bill's going to make the choice. I just think regardless, whoever the Patriots pick, it'll tell us something. It'll tell us something, whether Bill still believes in that traditional pocket passer or whether he, too, has evolved a little bit and is now at a point where he says, no, we need the mobility. So, Pac-Man, the one thing I've never understood with Bill when it comes to some of the quarterback stuff is it feels a little inconsistent depending on which side he's on. So when he had Jimmy Garoppolo, he wouldn't take 4 first-round picks for him,
right,
according to Adam Schefter. Yet when he needs a quarterback, he won't go out and trade those 4 first-round picks. You follow me?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
In other words, he places such a premium value on a guy like Garoppolo that no matter what you give him, he's not taking it. But now that he needs a guy like, call it Garoppolo, he won't go out and pay for it. So now look at, and with regard to mobile quarterbacks, there's a connection there for me. He finds mobile quarterbacks hard to defend. Yet he prefers the pocket passer, or so we think, who can read the defense and get rid of the ball quickly. So, I don't know. Maybe he just operated that way over all those years because that's what Brady's strength was, and he tailored the offense to Brady. And maybe now he looks at the game differently. They've built it differently, and maybe now they'll go a different route. I just think one way or another we're going to learn something.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year was a departure from Brady. I mean, stylistically, I mean, that was the idea with Cam, right? So Cam isn't the right guy to do it, but maybe this year Bill will find the right guy to do it. It's getting late, but there's still the draft. He can still get it done.
I mean, don't you think it's stupid, Murray, to have Cam running Brady's offense?
Well, yeah, last year proved that.
I mean, that's just stupid. Whether you have the weapons or not, that's stupid. Cam Newton's a completely different player than Tom Brady. Why would you ask him to run the same offense? It's stupid. To me, coaching is making the most of your talent. So if you're going to have Newton or someone like him succeed him, then you got to modify the offense and run an offense that way, too. Just my two cents. So anyway, we're off and running. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart will open the phone lines. And there are other people who believe that Mac Jones is too perfect a fit for the Patriots for them to pass up in the draft. We'll tell you who said that this morning when we come back.
Boston's home for sports. Zellgren-Ness, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If he winds up in the right place, let's say Mel's putting in 15 to New England. New England's brought in a lot of talent. They have the greatest coach of all time and a very successful offensive coordinator.
Stop.
Yeah.
I can answer the question.
Go.
I can answer it before you ask. It's the perfect landing spot for him. They do the same thing Alabama does. It's the same thing. The thought process in how Bill Belichick runs that franchise, the way that Nick Saban thinks about that Alabama and that organization, they do the same thing. Now, this is the NFL. Mac Jones will obviously week in and week out play against better players. But if you think about what Josh McDaniels has done with Matt Castle, if you think about what he's done with Jacoby Brissett, if you think about what he's done with Tom Brady as well, this could be a match made in heaven. And you know why? Because you can put Mac Jones in New England's offense and insulate him. They want to be balanced. They've signed two tight ends. They want to run the football. Everybody goes crazy about Tom Brady. And I think it's blasphemous to talk about Mac Jones and Tom Brady because initially when we put those two names together, everybody checks out of the conversation about Mac Jones. I don't expect Mac Jones to be Tom Brady. I don't expect nobody to be Tom Brady and have the type of career he's had. But we can't start talking about Mac Jones not being athletic enough to operate in the NFL. He absolutely can. Like, we talking about this guy like he can escape. Mac Jones has enough athletic skill set, and there's enough for him to build on to bring that part of his game to be enough. But if he ends up in New England with a supportive defense, a run game, a two tight end system, I believe he can have success in this league.
It's Marcus Spears again on Get Up, offering the counter to Tim Hasselbeck, who says Mac Jones is not the kind of guy you take in the first round. He's not athletic enough. If you're going to take a guy in the first round, you got to get some upside there. You got to get the guy who can make the great play.
And that part I agree with completely. And it just feels like, to me, Mac Jones is one of these guys, and it happens year in, year out with at least one quarterback, where all of a sudden there's a ton of hype and they move up a little bit too much. And that's what Mac Jones is to me. I mean, look, I'm obviously no scout, but I do watch a decent amount of college football. And I know this, he's not Tua. And Tua, despite the hip injury, you could see why he went so high in the first round. And with Mac Jones, I just think it was more about what's around him. He relied on Jalen Waddle too much, and he's looked like a second rounder. The talk was he was going to be a second rounder. Now we're talking about the Patriots taking him at 15. I just think that's an overdraft.
Yeah, and like I'm with Murray, and I know some people find this is inconsistent to say, well, Mac Jones had this great supporting cast, right? And people will say, oh, well, Joe Burrow had a really good supporting cast, and he did. Burrow would make tight window throws and, you know, throws on a lot.
Throws down the field.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I didn't.
You saw holy crap throws from Joe Burrow.
I think Mac Jones throws it down the field maybe a little bit more than you guys do, but I didn't see a lot of tight window stuff. Like I didn't see him forcing it into tight spaces and, you know, with a defender right on a guy's hip. That's what happens in the NFL. You don't get wide open windows in the NFL. I mean, generally you don't. And that's why I think, you know, the where the arm strength and things like that comes into play. I saw his 40 time today. Did you see his 40 time?
Does it was like 4.8 to 4.7.
Which is like in the Mahomes territory.
Yep.
You know, now this is a pro day. This isn't the combine. So I don't know how official any of these pro day times are compared to something like Indianapolis, where, you know, everybody kind of had the same laser-timed 40. So I don't know how accurate that 4.8 is, but that's faster than I would have thought. But he doesn't play like a mobile quarterback. So that's why I'd be out.
So his metrics, for those who care, and I'm not going to give you all the particular numbers, but the metrics are better than people would have guessed. Okay, that he's a better athlete than people might think. So look,
especially after that doughy cigar photo came out.
Yeah, he looked like he was in good shape.
Yeah, and so, look, I just think, again, if you were to draw up the Belichick prototype in this draft, based on what we've seen over the last 20 years, I think it's Mac Jones. I mean, look, they would love Trevor Lawrence, but that's a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the fact is, a guy that is gettable for them, it's probably Mac Jones. So Spears says there's better athleticism there, and the Patriots are a perfect fit for him. Hasselbeck looks at him and goes, I'd never take him in the first round. Now, the first round thing, I disagree with both of them a little bit. Like, I hear Hasselbeck and I say, well, if he can play, what difference does it make what round you take him in? You're talking about a quarterback here. At the same time, I hear some of the stuff Spears said about the Patriots offense, and he says, well, they want to be balanced. I don't think Bill's interested per se in the balance unless he can do both. In other words, he's not going to run or pass just for the sake of doing it. At the end of the day, I think Bill's going to do what works. And there were games where Brady threw the ball 60 times, for crying out loud. So he had to just throw balance out the window. But if you can do both, particularly with a young quarterback, it can help. So I'm not convinced. Everybody wants to make that connection to Jones and Belichick, that they're the perfect fit. And well, that's Mac Jones, not Adam.
And Saban and Belichick.
Right.
And yeah.
And part of me wonders if the Patriots aren't going to zag. Part of me wonders, and I don't have any inside info. This isn't the Apple Watch, Murray. I just wonder if they might zag. And I think that I wouldn't rule it out with Bill, because I don't think Bill is so stubborn that he wouldn't adapt.
Well, and he plays chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Right, that's a given.
So that makes sense. So, yeah, so everybody else is playing elementary level checkers with their pocket passers, he's thinking next level.
I mean, signing Cam Newton was queen to E4 or whatever the hell.
Big move,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, last year he decided while he was playing chess, everyone else was playing football.
Let's take a couple of calls. Ryan's and Bill Rick again. Ryan.
What's up, boys? So listen, Bill's a great coach, but his drafting skills blow. So I have no confidence in him whatsoever to pick the next guy. I feel like he'd trade up and then freaking, you know, pick the wrong guy, just like he did with, you know, N'Keal Harry and not taking Metcalf, just like he did with Michelle and not picking Chubb. I mean, it's just total Bill Belichick, and I have no confidence in it. And he also re-signed Cam Newton, which leads me to believe that, you know, I don't have any more confidence than I did in him before that.
Okay, so look,
I got today.
Yeah, so Ryan, thanks for the call. I think that the re-signing of Cam Newton was done out of necessity, out of desperation, because they had nowhere else to go. But when it comes to drafting in the first round, like, because a lot of people feel like Ryan does, you look at it and say N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn, who might now be a guard, which completely changes the value of that pick. When you look at it, do you feel any differently about Bill drafting a quarterback if he takes one early, Jones?
I mean, not really. I'll give Bill credit. He's drafted a lot of guys who can play in the league. And you know, even Hoyer, who I don't like Brian Hoyer at all, but he's had like a 10-year career. So Bill's done a decent job finding quarterbacks. I just don't know how many of them are really good. I mean, he's found guys who can have long careers in the league. We think Brissett, Hoyer's already had it. Garoppolo's on his way to having it. But, you know, Castle had a long career. But Brady's really, you know, an outlier among outliers when it comes to that. I don't know how many other good players he's found. So, I don't know. He's had a decent track record with finding okay quarterbacks. He's found one good one, and that one dropped into his lap.
Yeah, and that was like him hitting Powerball. I mean, Brady was Powerball. The rest...
What about Garoppolo?
I mean, fine.
Okay, so Murray...
He's a stiff, but he's a starter, sure.
So Murray, but Garoppolo's the highest he's ever taken a quarterback, and this is why I put a little weight on that pick. Okay, all the other guys are taken in mid to late rounds. Garoppolo is a guy they took early for them. But Bill's never taken a quarterback higher than that. So if Bill were to take a quarterback in the first or the second again, would you have more confidence in that than in him picking a receiver or a running back or a guard?
I suppose.
More than receiver.
I mean, I'm not going to feel like, yeah, this is a home run. Bill nailed it. Because, again, if you're just looking at the larger sample size of quarterbacks he's drafted, even if you want to go back to when he was in Cleveland, because I'd like to because it helps my argument, it's mostly been stiffs.
Wouldn't you love for them to take a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, of course. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be dynamite?
Well, and it would
just think it. He's never done it. They have a need. There are guys in this draft. And depending on the style of player they pick, it could be something completely different than what we've had here over the last 20 years.
It's a no-lose, at least for us, because it's either going to be someone that could be your starting quarterback here for the next decade and maybe take you to championships, or he's going to blow and it's instant comedy.
Well, and it'd be good for the—I think it'd be good for the locker room. Like, do they believe in Cam? No.
Well, some of the players do.
I don't know if they do.
I don't know. Did you see what Nelson Agholor had to say today?
Yeah, but they're complimenting him. I don't know if they actually believe in him. They're complimenting him. And I don't know. Like, I feel like bringing in a rookie is at least, okay, now this is going somewhere, whether it's October, whether it's next season. Like, now there's a bigger plan. It would be great for the fan base. It would be great for us. I think it'd be good for the locker room, too, because they have to know deep down. They're not winning anything with Cam.
So the question is, to me now, if the Patriots take a quarterback early, how do they take him? Do they stay there at 15 or do they move up? And there are people out there with ties to the Patriots who think the more likely scenario is them moving up. We'll tell you who that is after Jones gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's the overwhelmingly likeliest scenario that Cam Newton is the Patriots week one starter. But depending on how the draft shakes out, if somehow one of these really gifted quarterbacks either slides to the Patriots or the Patriots, a much more likely scenario, move up the board to grab one of these players. Like if Trey Lance, I don't know, we're playing a lot of hypotheticals here, becomes a New England Patriot, he's just talented enough that nothing is off the table. And sometimes we got to follow the money here, right? Cam Newton's contract contains $3.5 million guaranteed. That's less than Jacoby Brissett to back up Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. I think Cam's the guy, but I'm not putting it in Sharpie as of yet.
Field Yates, ESPN, former Patriots employee. Those guys that work for Belichick in the past, I always feel like have some sort of access, some sort of pipeline or, you know, again, just line of, you know, back and forth, line of communication with the organization that maybe gives you some insight as to what they're thinking or maybe it's what they want out there. But the idea that he said there, if someone slides to them or more likely they trade up. So it makes me wonder, are the Patriots preparing to trade up? Again, they went out and bought all these players. They clearly need a quarterback. Field Yates went out of his way to point out that Jacoby Brissett has more guaranteed money than Cam Newton does. And he just throws haphazardly the name of Trey Lance out there. And so I'm starting to buy into this whole Trey Lance Patriots thing. And I have no idea why.
Good.
But I'm buying in. And I'll tell you why, Murray, because Belichick did not go to the pro day for Trey Lance, right?
No, he did not.
Okay. So they sent a scout there, but Bill didn't go.
No, he was busy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, he couldn't find the time.
Had to walk Nike.
It feels like
We're out of poop bags, Linda.
He feels like the guy that the Patriots wouldn't go near. You know, he hasn't played one game in the last 2 years.
Right.
He's 20 years old. You know, he's raw. It feels like the farthest thing from what the Patriots would do, which is why I'm starting to think that they're going that way. So, I don't know. I'd be fascinated if they drafted that kind of player. Wouldn't that be interesting? Like, ooh, Bill's totally shaking it up. He thinks his kid can play.
Yes. In fairness, though, I also thought last year would be interesting with Cam Newton, and I guess it was for its own reasons.
And
but
it wasn't within 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. It was good. It was good. It was good right up until he started missing games with COVID, and then it really went downhill. But yeah, I applied that same logic to Cam. Now Cam's washed. A rookie wouldn't be washed. Hopefully they could play. But yeah, I've made that mistake with that logic before.
Yeah, Murray, that deteriorated pretty fast, didn't it?
Sure did. Yeah, look, I'm interested because there's such an unknown with this kid. I still love the feeling of drafting a quarterback in the first round because of the hope and unknown that can come with it. This could be the white whale, right? This could be the savior of the franchise. And if not, well, they're always fun to rag on too if they suck. But if you read some of the comparisons of who this kid could be for NFL comps, you read poor man's Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck-esque, could be Ryan Tannehill, best worst case scenario. If he's any of those three guys, that's a hit. Especially if he's Andrew Luck or any shade of Andrew Luck or when Kaepernick was good.
And that's a pretty wide range too, right? Mm-hmm. And even a guy like Jones, you hear people say all the time, ooh, the bus factor with him is huge. He could be Matt Leinart. Have all these great players around you. Everyone thinks you could.
Matt Barkley or just a career backup type. Yeah.
Right. Then you get to the NFL and you suck.
Yeah, there's real upside, potential upside and real unknown with Trey Lance. Because again, who's watching North Dakota State games anyway? And
Nobody.
Only played the one last year.
Nobody, including Bill, apparently. So
yeah, and I, by the way, I don't think he played good in that showcase game last year. Like his freshman year at North Dakota State, I don't believe he threw a pick or something crazy like that. But last year, I don't think he played great in that showcase game. But look, I'd be all in if they took a player like that.
Oh, be great. Geno's in Weymouth. Geno, what do you got?
Hey guys, so the Pats taking a first round quarterback, from what I'm hearing, just seems to do nothing but raise a bunch of eyebrows and questions and concerns. If you're Bill, why don't you stick to your strengths, take the best defensive player or offensive lineman available, and come day two, take someone like Kyle Trask. He can move. He has a good arm.
Kyle Trask
and
can't
his
move.
Good criticism, he has a big criticism. Like he forces things sometimes. But, hey, I believe in the best coach in the league and of all time to be able to fix that.
So, Gino, if you tell me it's in the second round, I'm okay with that. And I'm not against taking defense in the first round. I'm with you, Jones, though. He said that Trask can move.
No, that guy's a statue.
Yeah, and everything I've heard is that he's clumsy. On top of it, everything I've read. So I didn't watch enough Florida during the year to tell you. Also,
he sucked in that bowl game. And, he had an ankle injury, but he did suck in that game.
And Murray, at the end of the year, he got worse.
Yeah.
When they played big games, he sucked.
I thought he was pretty good in the SEC championship game against Alabama. But yeah, he's not mobile, for sure.
He's big. 6'5", 230.
Yep.
I mean, he's gigantic. So if you like the big quarterback can see over the line, particularly...
Yeah, that would tell you about Belichick's type. If Belichick's taking Trask, I mean, that is a big, immobile statue back there, yeah.
Appel Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I try to find where someone offered 4 first-rounders for a quarterback. I can't find that anywhere. I never heard of that. That's way too much.
No. Go ahead, Tony.
I think we're going to be surprised. And I'll tell you why. Obviously, Cam sucked last year. There's no two ways about it, okay? And the throws in the ground and all the stuff and everything. But he had nobody. Maybe he's going to be decent enough with the people that we've got now, because there is a major improvement, especially if Edelman comes back. What do you know about Edelman? Is he coming back?
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on Edelman. Did I read somewhere earlier on that he's probably not going to play this year at all? Did I read that somewhere?
About a month ago, there was some reports floating out there that his future's unknown, I think is how it was worded.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on
Edelman. He's on one leg, basically.
Yeah,
I think he's still rehabbing from that injury. Not back and still kind of rehabbing it.
I mean, let's say he weren't rehabbing. What are his chances of making it through the year? Guy hasn't been the same player in a long, long time. He had one little flash last year in the Seattle game, but if you go back to the year before, he had the drop in the Tennessee playoff game.
Right.
He wasn't the same player in the second half of that season. He missed the whole year last year. And if he does have anything left, they're probably going to trade him to Tampa.
With all due respect to Tony, who's a delight and calls daily and listens all the time, I literally feel my brain turn off when I hear the give Cam a chance thing. He's going to be better this time around. No, he's not. I saw enough. You saw enough. We shouldn't have to deal with that again.
What do you call it, Murray? ABC?
ABC. Anybody but Cam.
We'll continue with your calls on Felger and Mass when we come back.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
There was nothing wrong with the player we had in 2018. Nothing wrong. In between October 28th, 2018, when we won the World Series, to April 1st of the next year, sometime there, I don't know if it was him or his agent. It wasn't the organization. Decided to, you know what? You need to hit home runs. And you could see the swing. You could see the moves. It was a different player.
This self-serving part of the Felger and Mass show is brought to you by me. It's Alex Cora. Why the hell would we play that? If you're on the line waiting to talk about Patriots quarterbacks in the draft, don't go anywhere. We're going to get right back to the conversation. There's a reason we're playing that. I just want to get this out of the way. The interview I did with Alex Cora was posted yesterday on the website as part of the new Baseball Hour podcast. It's been a rebranding of the Baseball Reporter show because we don't have reporters in the program anymore. It's really just kind of me spewing.
Were there ever reporters on there?
At the very beginning, yeah.
At a point in time, there were, right?
Yeah, at the very beginning, Jones, there were.
Yeah, Shaughnessy would come in and do it sometimes when Naz was out.
Yep. Yeah, McAdam, you know. I mean, we had different guys.
Yeah, Shaughnessy would need somebody to tell him what the number was. Yeah.
Rochie, we used to do that. So, you know, we called the baseball reporters. And, you know, way back then, I actually called important people and talked to them. Nolan Ryan, Jim Palmer, we had guys like that on.
Oh.
Now we just rip. We don't want facts anymore.
No.
So we've
rebuilt
the
second program. Guess you all the way to a World Series championship, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Rochie. So in any case, the podcast went up yesterday.
If Buckles continues to pitch the way he has, he's going to get a one-way ticket to Pawtucket.
So we wanted to promote the podcast, the interview with Alex Cora, which has been getting a good response. So we just want to tell you that it's up there. Cora did say some interesting stuff in all seriousness. And one of the other things I wanted to play, Jimmy, him on Verdugo. I learned something new that I didn't know just about Alex Verdugo quickly, because I want to get this off my chest. The Verdugo and Benintendi are similar. And so when Cora said he was talking about Andrew Benintendi in that cut and Benintendi taking it upon himself to hit home runs and just screwing up his whole career, if you ask me. And I found it interesting that Cora said point blank it was him or his agent. It wasn't us.
That is a no doubt in my mind lie.
So I told him I would hope that you take a similar approach with Andrew Benintendi and leave him alone. Let him be the player he wants to be. Here's what Cora said.
With Verdugo.
About Verdugo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about Verdugo.
And I know you made a comment about Verdugo early in camp that, hey, look, not everybody on our team has to hit home runs. We're okay with him doing it the way he's doing it. And I assume that that's something you're going to try to drill into his head.
The way he goes about his business with his swing, you know, he hates hitting on the field because when he hits on the field, he gets caught up on home run derby. And he hates doing that because it gets him out of his game. You know, right now in spring training, you see the numbers. I think he only has one hit. It was bad. But the way he's progressing, you know, putting his body in a position that he can hit line drives over the shortstop, he can hit line drives over the second baseman, honestly, Tony, I don't have to worry about him because he knows it. And and the fact that he doesn't want to hit outside for the right reasons, it makes me believe that he understands that. Be a complete player because, as you know, this year with the baseball, it's going to be different. You know, those fly balls from little guys, those balls are going to be landing on the gloves. You know, it's going to be a fly ball to center, a fly ball to right, a fly ball to left. So I think the game will change. You know, we're still going to see home runs, but we're not going to see it at the rate that we've seen in the last 10 years. And guys like Alex Verdugo, Andrew Benintendi, 2018, Jose Ramirez in Cleveland, you know, they're going to be the guys that you're going to be looking at and you're like, you know what? I want the complete player. I just don't want the, you know, I don't want only home run hitters.
So, and Jimmy, are, I mean, are there any other there, guys? Jimmy, that's fine. The two things struck me there. One, the Red Sox are clearly accounting for the ball, right? You hear Cora say it's going to be different this year. The ball's not going to carry as much. Secondly, and I told you this, Jones, during a break, Alex Verdugo doesn't take batting practice on the field. I didn't know that. Maybe that's been written and I missed it. Entirely possible. I find this interesting because, Murray, you play golf. Do you like hitting the ball into a net or do you like going to the driving range?
Driving range.
Why?
Well, because I can actually see where the hell it goes, for one, and it feels like more of the real thing.
Exactly. Verdugo's the opposite, right? He wants to be in the cage because he doesn't want to see where it goes. Because he finds that when he's out on the field, now I'm trying to launch. Now I'm just trying to hit the ball into the seats, and I screw it up.
This disappoints me. He doesn't want to be in the Dong Report. That disappoints me.
So anyway, I just think, actually, I think Verdugo's way is the right way. And so, especially when you're a player like him, if you're a power hitter, it's probably different. Anyway, just getting that off my chest. Back to your phone calls. Phil's in Malden on the Patriots drafting a QB. Go ahead.
Yeah, do you think that there's any chance that they could get the quarterback from Ohio State?
Fields.
Yeah, sure. So Jones, what do you think of that?
I mean, there's a chance. I don't have my fingers crossed that Bill's going to – well, sorry, I have my fingers crossed that he'll move up for him, but I don't find that to be likely, that Bill's going to move way up the board. All due respect to what Field Yates, the clip that you played earlier, maybe the Patriots could move up. I'll believe it when I see it. It's not that Bill's never moved up in the first round. He moved way up for Daniel Graham years ago. He moved up for Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower in the first round. He moved up a spot for Ty Warren. He moved up in the second round for Gronk. So he's moved up. He's definitely moved up before. Both the tight ends last year he moved up for in the third round. But I'm not holding my breath on Bill going all the way up for a quarterback. I'd love him to, but I don't think he's going to do it. That said, the asking price is probably this year's first and next year's first to start. That's what it took for Josh Allen. That's what it took for Patrick Mahomes. That's what it took for Deshaun Watson, all their teams to move up for him. Their own first-round pick that year, plus additional picks, including a future first.
Murray, you think there's any shot of them moving up?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, just given that there's some smoke there, right? I mean, there's been some things floating around the last couple of weeks. I think it could happen. I mean, it would, on the one end, while I'd be into it, because it would show me they're going to try to get a quarterback. It's kind of annoying because, well, it proves that I was right, that you should have lost those two useless wins last year, the Monday nighter against the Jets and then the one against Arizona, because you wouldn't have to waste more picks to try to move up because you'd already be sitting at number 8.
It is true.
I think it's in play. I do. I think it's in play. Mike's in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so on Benintendi, he had the sweetest swing. I mean, I thought the guy was going to be a stud for a long time. But back to the Pats. Tony, you've said it a bunch of times. Belichick just doesn't value the quarterback like everybody else does. I think he wants to prove he can win with D. He's got his boys coming back. He's beefing up the O-line. He's got the two tight ends, White's back. I think he wants to win with some Cam Newton or some other Joe at quarterback.
Yeah, so Mike, I'll tell you, I do worry about this. Like I would take that as a negative, that Bill looks at it and says, no. The quarterback's overvalued in the NFL. The exact opposite of what you were saying, Murray, that you look at it and you say, well, the league's different now. It's quarterback-centric, more quarterback-centric than it's ever been before. And so you have to have a quarterback. Bill looks at it and says, nope, it's still football. It's still the game. It'll always be the game that my father taught me growing up. And so let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. That part of it is scary.
Oh, yeah, no, without question.
Yeah, and so I mean, if they, you know, if they think that they can win with Cam Newton at quarterback, I think that's insane.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
Jones.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it feels like Bill is doubling down. I hope the callers are right and Bill is going to move up and target someone else or have somebody drop into his lap. But it feels like he's doubling down on what you just said. The game is the game and I can win with Cam.
Mark's in Newton. Quickly, Mark.
Masuskate. Bill has got himself set on Deshaun Watson. He's going to give this pick and many in the future to get Deshaun Watson. He's using Bob Kraft's connections in the massage industry to make it happen.
Okay, I was waiting for the punchline.
Long way to get that joke in.
Murray, any shot of Deshaun Watson?
No, they're not getting him. I'm not doing the song again. Go back and listen to last week's podcast. They're not getting him. Get it through your thick skulls, idiots.
Okay, we're in our longest commercial-free segment. No commercials here. Jones will get you caught up on headlines. And then a notable cut from the Patriots roster yesterday. A notable cut I think you know who that is, and Murray in particular feels vindicated by it. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.